This is the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
It is on a decent-looking Saturday morning, 9:06. Ken Connors and Walter Assey from Renovco. Walter is in studio. I'm just so happy to have some company.
2 years and a half, Ken. 2 years and a half.
Was that the last time you were in here?
Yes. Yeah. It's been that long.
I believe it.
Yeah. I kind of enjoyed doing the show in my boxers, so remotely.
I know. That's the benefit, yeah. You don't have to shave. You don't have to make an appearance. You just get on Zoom. Was it Zoom or Skype?
Yeah, it was Zoom.
Zoom. All right. Boy, that was a long 2.5 years, too, eh?
It was. I mean, I just can't believe that, you know, now I feel that we're back to normal, you know?
Yeah, getting there, although...
Coming to the building and being here with you. And,
yeah, it's a start.
And I have to tip my hat for you, because it's really hard to do radio on Zoom. Yeah. I mean, it's when you're here, we look at each other, we see each other, I can see your signals.
Yeah.
But for you, you made it so effortless.
Thank you. Yeah. But you did a great job as well. It's not easy because you're detached, you know. But anyways, we're glad to have you here in the studio. You have a question for Walter? Well, by all means, call now and grab a line at 514-790-0800. We have the expert here for the entire hour, 514-790-0800. Going out to Vaudreuil. Is that you, John? You still there?
Yes, I am. Yes.
How are you?
I'm good. And you?
Very good. You want to talk about adding a toilet to where in the house? Another bathroom downstairs, upstairs?
Well, what happened is me and a wife just bought a house, and the only thing missing that we really wanted was two bathrooms, one for her and one for me. And since it only has one, it has double sinks. I think they call them his and her sinks. And I was wondering if I could put another toilet in that bathroom, almost like a his and her toilet. Is that possible?
How big is your toilet? Is your bathroom?
Oh, I'm not sure. It's a regular size. I don't know, 10 by something. I didn't measure it.
Okay. So the thing you want to kind of think about is dimension-wise, if you cannot expand the size of the bathroom, is
right.
A toilet typically would need a minimum of 30 inches, 28 inches to be exact,
okay.
Of clearance of clearance in order to sit comfortably. So you have to kind of map it out and say, okay, this is where I would want the toilet to be, and is that going to affect anything? Is it going to affect my shower, my bathtub, and so on and so forth? In renovations, everything is doable. Of course, we need to be as close as possible to the main drain, but it is doable. We've done it. We do it all the time, his and hers. Of course, we try to do it in an enclosed fashion that, you know, both are comfortably using the toilet. Mm-hmm. So we build enclosures for both. But the bathroom have to itself be bigger than usual. You know, if it's a 10 by 5 or an 8 by 7, these are the typical standard size bathrooms. It's not really that doable. It's very tight space as is for a one toilet bathroom.
Okay, I don't think we'll need the enclosures because we've been married for 40 years.
There are no more secrets, okay. John.
You literally share everything.
That's it. That's right. Okay. Can I answer the question about Frankie Valli and the songs there?
Oh, that was about an hour ago.
Oh.
Yeah, we had our winner on the air. Did you hear our winner?
No.
Oh,
no.
Yeah. We had a winner. It was Howard Outen Dollard who won the tickets. We have more tickets tomorrow morning, John.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're
sir.
Welcome. Thanks.
Okay.
Thanks for
have
calling.
A good day.
Thanks for calling it. 9:10. Yeah. You know what? It's a question of taste. It's a very personal. I like to have the bathroom to myself. But that's just me.
I do too. I call it the throne and my office at the same time. So
514-790-0800. Any question you have about an issue in your home, do call right now. By the way, you can text in as well. Walter, I'm from the text line. It says, good morning, guys. I'd like to find out during the show whether I can lay floor tiles over linoleum in the kitchen.
Ooh. Not really recommended.
Okay.
Not really recommended. Linoleum is not that difficult to remove, so I would really encourage you to remove the linoleum. Always remember, laying tiles, cement glue is important, and it needs to have as much of a clean surface as possible, something where it can adhere properly. So what you really want is plywood, That will be the best bedding or cement bedding to put your tile on. If you're going to put a linoleum floor, cement glue on a linoleum, you will have issues and it will actually lift with time. So, you know, take that extra hour or two or few hours to demolish and prepare your structure properly. I mean, that's the secret of laying tiles, is what you have under, how do you prepare the subfloor? The plywood is in good condition. And another trick for you, do not buy the select plywood that is very clean. Buy the bit, the more kind of rugged or non-select plywood.
Oh, yeah?
Cement glue works better on that. Make sure that the plywood is well screwed and you have a Ditra. If you have a Ditra membrane, that will be awesome. But for sure, try to avoid having linoleum floors. And the problem with linoleum floors is more often than not, there's multiple layers. So you don't know what's lurking down there. You don't know if, you know, below that what's lurking, what's lifting, and so on and so forth. So, yeah, definitely remove it and prepare it properly before.
All right. We have to break at 15, but we have 3 minutes to get in. Hussein. Hussein, hi, how are you?
Yes, hi. Basically, I'm my step in the front of the house, and it's because of the snow, the salt, and it looked like very, very odd. So I want to do the work, that steps, and what is the materials I have to use, and when is the best time I can start.
So you want to repair the outside stairs?
That's correct, because you see, it doesn't look very... nice to walk in, and it's not safe at all.
Yeah.
Okay. Because it's salt. I mean, all the cement get. I did two times repair, but it's salt make a destroy, and probably I didn't put the glue. That's my mistake. Probably is it right? Without glue to put, because they give me expensive cement, but cement it can't fall off.
Yeah, not in our weather, unfortunately. The proper way to repair cement, you need to really remove a layer and chisel it out and go from the bottom up. So just to go over and do a surface repair, you're going to have to do it every year and, you know, waste your money. That's number one. So if you're not breaking a layer of the cement up, down, and then starting from a solid layer up, you will be doing that over and over again. And really, it's not, you know... I would not recommend it, because you're going to waste time and money and energy for no reason. So what you need to do as well, I mean, there's other things you could look at that we've been having great success with, and that is epoxy resin. If you Google that, it's going to be difficult for me to explain for you over the radio, but it actually glues much better, it adheres nicer, and it looks good and comes in multiple colors. So that might be a good solution for you. Just make sure before that you take away all the loose cement and you really go down until you can't really go down anymore. So have a clean foundation to go up from. And that should last you a really long time.
Which best cement? Because polymer is I use. I mean, that's the best one I'm going to use for outside.
Yeah, but it's not the problem with the polymer is fine. The issue that you have is, and we see it often, In cement repairs, we don't take off enough of the surface. We don't chisel enough of the surface out. Try to do the same application, but clean it really out. Try to chisel it out and start from proper bedding, and you should have better results. But even with that, I mean, we've done cases where we have to take out an inch and a half of the cement.
The same question is that I want to make it bigger, but the step is too small. I want a bigger size. Mm-hmm. So what should I need? Need a permit from the city, or I can do it?
The permit is required when you're changing the actual imprint. So if it's going to get bigger than what it was, longer, then you would need a permit for sure. So you just have to explain them that the actual step have to go bigger. I don't believe you're going to need a plan or anything like that. It's a fast process. It takes about a week. And you cannot really extend the stairs, though you have to take out the stairs and make a new mold for them. Okay, you need to make a new form and re-pour.
How's that, Hussein?
I just go myself. Thank you very much.
All right, good luck with the project.
You're listening to The Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
Welcome back. Yeah, it's Ken Connors alongside Walter Assey from Renovco here for the full hour in studio as well. What a bonus for me, some company. And we'll get right back to the phone here. 514-790-0800. Going up to Laval, Walter, to talk to Albert. Hi, Albert.
Hi, how are you?
I'm very good. You want to talk to Walter about going on vacation and what to do with the water, right?
Yes, well, I hear that it's a good idea to close the main water supply valve at my entrance. Mm. And if I do that, should I drain water from the faucets and all that to drain the whole water? And I also have a gas hot water tank with a pilot light. Will that affect anything if I close the water?
It's a great idea to close the water when you leave on vacation, especially for a long time,
right,
for many reasons, but one of them is insurance.
Right.
What most of us might not know is that if you are on vacation, your house is not supposed to be completely abandoned.
Right.
The minimum is 48 hours you have to have someone visit and inspect the house.
Right.
So if that doesn't happen and you have a damage, you are almost most certainly not covered.
This is in the fine print of your insurance, right?
Yeah. That is correct.
Yeah.
We see that often. I mean, I literally had someone last week that had a major flood, and her daughter, she's in Florida for the winter, so her daughter would visit the condo every 4 days.
Okay.
And they did not give her coverage because of that.
Imagine. So okay. How do you prove the insurance that you're going every 48 hours
well,
to check the house?
That person... It's a statement, right? So if you know, they ask you who's been checking the house. Most people don't know that fine print. Well, say my daughter comes once a week and so on and so forth. So if you have a designated person, his testimony that he goes and checks it out. And if it's a condo, well, you know, there's a lot ledger maybe. Mm-hmm. So all of these things have to be, they look at the alarm sometimes, you know, the log and the alarm, alarm and put it on and off and what have you.
Yeah.
There's many ways for them to check.
Right.
Having said that, shutting off the water is going to decrease really the risk of you having a water damage, because most of the time it's water damage that you're going to have.
Yeah.
Definitely drain your toilets, open your faucets and what have you, and when you put them back on, put the water back on, well, make sure that you shut them all off and they're all shut off, because you don't want to have the problem after you come back.
Right.
That will really piss you off.
What about the gas hot water tank? I have a pilot light there, and I always have a problem. If I shut that off, I try to put it back on, I always have problems igniting it. Could I leave it on?
I mean, yes, it's a question of minimizing the risk. The chances of the hot water tank busting versus anything in the house busting. So if there are anything that are problematic, you could probably look the other way. It's usually in the basement, so even if a flood happens, at least it's concentrated in one room. But again, it's rare. So that, you know, you don't need to go crazy with these things. But what's also great about you visiting that shut-off valve or the main valve of the house is that most of the time, these things, a lot of the time when the house is older, they don't work properly or they don't work at all.
Mm. Right, they leak sometimes, yeah.
That's right. So that will, and we rarely check them. So that's also a good chance for us to make sure that they are good working order, because when you really want them and need them, you know, you want to make sure that it's functioning well. We did have another client that had a major damage, and simply her main valve could not function, so she had the leak for about 2 hours. The city had to come and dig from the outside. It was a big mess, and the damage was much bigger than it should have, just because the shut-off valve was not working.
Yeah,
so that's a good chance for you to do that. You know, if you go on vacation once or twice, that's going to be making you visit that area, which is rarely visited, really.
Mm. Right, right.
And there's another system. There's another system that you can install. I don't believe there, but there's similar systems. There's AquaTrip, that was one of the very good systems that it senses water being used for more than 5 minutes and automatically shut off your water.
Right.
Their system is very similar to that. And what I understand is you could get insurance savings
by using this,
by using that and by putting water sensors and so on and so forth. So that's a great system. Even when you're at work or out of the house and something happens, you know, it's 5 minutes worth of damage versus, you know,
the
whole day. That's right. That's right.
Right. Yeah. And going back to the gas hot water tank, if I close the water, is there a problem with the tank or just leave it like that?
I would leave it like that, personally.
Okay, so it won't damage anything?
No.
Okay, so that's what I was going to do. And also my hot water tank, what's my advantage? It's in the garage. So if ever it breaks, it would leak in the pit in the garage, so it's not a problem.
That's exactly it. I mean, most times it's have a drain in the room. It's in a cement room. So, yes, it's a damage, and we don't want to have it. But at least it's a restricted damage if it happens, and it's extremely rare.
And what about my gas stove? Should I close the valve there, too, at every appliance?
You know, the gas, I don't personally do it. But what I would do if you really want to, I don't know if you have propane tank outside or anything like that. You could always, shut off from the source. Natural gas, yeah. So there's a main valve for gas. If you really don't want to take a chance, you could always shut that one off as well.
Well, that one, it's outside. It's on a meter. I don't think I have that valve. It's the gas, Energy that takes care of that, I believe.
You're sure you don't have a
shut-off? I have a valve at every appliance, but not the main one, like the water.
Okay. Okay. Look, I mean, it doesn't hurt to shut it off. I personally don't do it. I have propane tanks, mind you, but it doesn't hurt, I guess, to do that as well. It depends how long you're going. If you're going for the whole winter, then...
No, it's only just like 10 days. It's not a long
time. Yeah. I mean, look, it's a question of safety and state of mind, right? If that's going to give you a better, comfort zone, again, it does happen that you have some type of gas leak. Sometimes it's very rare as well, so...
Okay.
Just to minimize your risk.
Thank you for your answers. It's very, very appreciated.
Albert, safe travels. Enjoy that vacation.
Thank you very much.
Bye now.
Bye.
I got about a minute here. Do you need a minute for sponsor, or did I take this right to 9:30? Right to 9:30? We were talking about hardwood flooring a few minutes ago. For a while there during the pandemic, you were hearing, there was such a shortage and supply issues when it came to wood, and it affected, people who were looking to do renovations during the pandemic and were having a hard time finding hardwood. Is that still the issue, or did that problem work itself out?
As far as we're concerned, we've always encouraged locally the factories that are local. So Goodfellow, Mercier, with these particular factories, yes, there is some backup, mm-hmm. but we don't have much shortages. Okay. Where we're having real issues is with the foreign importers, the Italians, the Spanish, Chinese. There's major delays, and then those delays can take you 4 months, more than sometimes weeks. So that's been the challenge. What happened in the market a while back was there was a major shortage of plywood. Mm-hmm. And that was shocking because, we also produce plywood here. So, the price shot off really high. It was at one point $85 a sheet. Mm. So, yeah, there's still, we're still feeling the supply chain issues. It's a lot better, I have to say, though.
But you can avoid that if you go local.
You minimize your risk. So when you have a delay from a local manufacturer and tell you it's 3 weeks, I mean, you already eliminated the ship, the port, and all of these things that,
All right. Walter Essie from Inovco, call now. He's here for another half hour. Get your free advice. You're always looking for someone to call. Who can I ask about this? We've got the guy. 514-790-0800. More on the Home Improvement Show right after the news.
You might just need to tighten a thingamajig on the whatchamacallit. This is the Home Improvement Show on CJAD 800.
It certainly is. 936-514-790-0800. Walter Rassi and Ken Connors here with you. Kenneth is on the line, Walter, who wants to talk about pipes. Kenneth, you still there?
Yes, sir.
Thank you for waiting. What part of Montreal do we find you in?
Lachine.
Very nice. So what's the issue about the pipes?
Well, I don't have a problem with the pipe. I want to make something. You know when you have a outdoor tempo shelter? You put the plastic sheet in a curve, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I phoned Unistrut in Illinois, and they said, well, we do have U-channel slot out, slot in, or slot side. It's like those curtains that you have in a store or a warehouse that you slide it back and forth. But split curtain suppliers in BC, and Unistrut said, well, that's usually a custom job. Do you know anybody that makes U-channel where you put the wheels in and you can attach a curtain? So you can imagine you had a gazebo or a tempo, and you just want to pull it out of the way when it's not raining. And if it rains, you just slide it over the barbecue and, let's say, a picnic table.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Usually when we have special projects like that, we try to find, believe it or not, welders, those welding shops. And they're usually good in making small projects like this. There is a company, it's called Ceratec in Bay Durfee, but they're bigger, so I don't know if they, I know they're specialized in you know, specialty metal custom stuff. So that could also be one venue that you could use. But in your case, a smaller welding shop could, you know, could really do it for you. I don't know of anyone in particular manufacturer that does these types of things, unfortunately.
Hmm.
Yeah.
All right.
What was the name of that company again?
Ceratec.
Is that with an S?
C-E-R-R-A-T-E-C-K, I believe. E-C.
Ceratec, yeah. E-C on the end.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. Let's go to Kathy. Hi, Kathy.
Hi there.
Hi. Kathy's out in Point Clair, Walter, and she's got an issue with her windows. You say you got that gas in between the panes?
Well, it's either that or it's the UV protection that's peeling off or something, but it looks like a smudge, and I've got sliding doors, and these are facing south, but the frames to these sliding doors and the windows are matching the outside of my house, which is a sort of a cream, what do you call that stuff? I'm shy, sorry. Just the outside of the house, the aluminum siding, sorry.
Right.
And it's sort of a cream color. Mm-hmm. So I was hoping I could just get the glass replaced. But do I just have to get the whole window? And they're about 15 years old.
Okay. So 15 years old for a good quality window is not long. It's not long.
Oh.
Okay, so
they went under, and now they've opened up again in Vaudreuil, but they were in Dollard before.
Okay, we don't need to know the details of that. We should try to stay away from that.
Yes, of course.
Here's the thing: the original installation is also important. Okay, so if you look at the outside, we sometimes go to see jobs, and you know it's not a brick to brick installation. They've kept the old, you know, rotted wood frame around it. That if and then your window fails at this point, just get it done and get it done right. If it's just a question of the glass, you could definitely look into just changing the thermal, and that should work. Provided, of course, that the frame is in good condition, it was well installed, it's not crooked, it's not leaking air. You don't see any cracks in it or anything like that. So. If you would just change the thermal, that should work, and you should not have a problem for a long time.
Hmm.
You should buy another 15 years out of it.
Yeah.
Who would I call to do that? I don't know.
Honestly, you could even call any glass shop. The windows companies, the one that sell windows, they do it. It's not really their forte because they'd rather change the whole window. But if you call any glass shop in your area, they'll gladly do it for you.
There you go.
Wonderful. It can be done. Sweet.
Yeah. Can be done, definitely.
Thank you, Kathy.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. This is Salvatore out in RDP. How's Salvatore? Salvatore, how are you?
Yes, fine. You?
I'm very good. You want to talk about your thermal pump, right?
Yes, thanks for taking my call. It's more of an opinion than a technical question.
Okay.
I have a house built in 2002. The thermal pump is also 2002, so it's going on 20 years now this July. It works perfect. Over the years, I've added 3-on-1s, changed the capacitors, you know, to start off the compressor a few times. Now, should I run it until it dies, or should I look into it? I started looking into it last year, and they need to change both units. Absolutely. I don't understand why. The thermal pump outside and the heater inside, because the new coils don't fit inside. Is that a fact? And what's your opinion? Should I just wait till it dies out, or
well, the heat pump and the furnace have to be compatible, and if they're not compatible, they can actually cost you more money and cause you a lot of problems. So that's for sure one issue. That when you have, I don't know what brand they are. Like, do you know the brands?
Yeah, Armstrong.
They're both Armstrong.
Yes.
Okay, it's a good machine. It's a good company. Did you call an Armstrong dealer when you?
No. Actually, somebody from Costco came.
Okay.
Somebody from it goes for about $10,000. You know, a 4-ton unit
yes.
for both.
Here's the trick: when you call ventilation companies, it's the companies they work with, right? So some of them carry the Carrier brand, others carry a Train, and so on and so forth. If their Carrier or their Train is not compatible, they're going to tell you need to change both units because they want to sell you both units.
Okay, I get it.
So try to find yourself an Armstrong dealer, and then that might you know, save you at least $5,000 out of the equation. If not, then definitely wait for it to die. If it's not broken, don't fix it, kind of a thing. And then, you know, if you can buy another 2-3 years out of it, so be it.
Right, right. Okay.
All right, solid story. Good luck with it.
Okay, thank you so much.
Bye now.
Thank you, my call.
You're welcome. 514-790-0800. That frees up a line. 514-790-0800. I have a minute here before we go to traffic, Walter. Another flooring question. What do you suggest to cover or camouflage old stained linoleum? I rent, so it must be simple and easy. Do you think some sort of kitchen mats would do the job? That's from Tina.
Linoleum is very popular today. Mm. This is the second question we get about linoleum. One of the things you could do is you buy those vinyl strips or vinyl PVC.
Yeah.
Easy to install, tongue and groove, or even those lats that you just glue. Not as expensive, and it's actually water-friendly for a kitchen. So, you know, it's waterproof, it's antibacterial, and some of them are antibacterial and so on and so forth. That will be a very quick fix, and it looks nice, it looks clean. Plus, it will give you an update and something that you could do yourself over in a weekend, quite frankly, as well.
There you go, Tina. The expert's here for another 15 minutes. So if you want to call now, please do. 514-790-0800.
Whether you're handy or all thumbs, you're listening to the Home Improvement Show on CJAD 800.
All right, 949 in the home stretch, but we're still working here. 514-790-0800. It's Ken Connors alongside Walter Assey from Renovco. Richard, are you still there?
I'm still here. Thanks, Ken and Walter.
You're welcome. Insulation is the issue here?
Yeah, the insulation. So it's maybe to reconfirm something or see what I'm doing incorrectly or correctly. So I'm renovating. I'm doing sort of like tearing down the walls and so on of a sort of a basement area of a house. And I'll get the contractor to finish to do the finishing work and so on. But I've pulled off. This is a house that's built on the side of a mountain or side of a hill. So, in these rooms, part of the rooms are exposed to the outside. Let's say a half of it, and part of it's underground. Okay, because it's on a slant going down a hill. So, the existing walls, what they had was from the inside. It was a wallpaper chip rock. Pulled it off, and it had a wall built with 2x4s, joists, and so on, going to the ceiling. And behind that, they had not put insulation. So I saw the cement foundation on part of it, and on the rest, it had the joists, and between the joists, they had Mansfield insulation and so on. Okay, so I wanted to up the insulation, so. My impression is that what I've read is you have to keep the vapor barrier as close as you can to the inside, to the warm side, and you allow the house to breathe from the outside in, but make sure you cut the wind off. So what I did was I put code board, okay, against the cement behind the joists, and then where the joists were, I put on the inside, I put rock wool, and then the vapor barrier, and then the gyprock would be added. Is that the right thing to do, or should the vapor barrier be towards the outside of the wall?
Never. The
Never.
Vapor barrier should always be on the warm side of the
warm
building.
Side.
And
okay.
If you don't do it this way, you're going to have all kind of problems,
right.
Condensation and mold and so on and so forth. We've seen actually cases where walls would rot because people think sometimes what they've done they've put a vapor barrier on the outside and then another one on the inside, sandwiched the walls, not allowed it to breeze, and then you have wood rot everywhere.
Yeah. Right. So the principle is to allow the house to breathe from the outside to the inside as much as possible, so that the dew point is as far in as possible, so it doesn't create any humidity. Is that right?
That is correct. Now, the other thing that while you're doing this that I want you to pay attention and close attention to, because that's where you lose most of your home energy, is the rim joist. A lot of times you'll see that the rim joist, if it's an older home, they just stuck in some fiberglass insulation in there with no vapor barrier.
Yeah.
And that's a mistake.
Yes.
You want to urethane that, and you want to make sure it's really well done. So you're going to spend some good time on that, making sure it's well done.
Yeah.
If you don't, any insulation that you do below that, it's not going to really save you money because the rim joist is the weakest point.
put in, I cut up squares of one and a half inch cold board.
Yeah, the styrofoam,
right?
Yeah.
And then I would make it a little bit smaller than the opening, and then I would foam around it. And then I put rock wool, you know, so I've got at least almost an R30 up there.
I mean, that could work. Nothing beats urethane in this area, but that could work. That's another way of doing it.
I use the foam urethane around it, the opening.
Yeah.
I guess to cut off any air coming in, any air trying to get in anywhere, right?
That's correct. Well, you have challenges sometimes the vapor barrier because, you know, every...
Yes, I taped it. I would use the blue tape and tape all around. Is that a good idea to...
The blue tape is a good idea. Yeah. Most people use red tape, and red tape is not made for vapor barriers. So you're using the adequate tape, and I'm proud of you for that, because even contractors don't know that.
Yeah.
You're ahead of the game there, Richard.
Yeah, well, now if my contractor shows up to finish the finish the rest of it, that'll be good.
Yeah. My
big concern is when they do a bathroom was already done, and I've torn it all down, and they're going to... redo and use a hammer on the floor to open up the floor, which is always my wife is concerned about the mess it can make. So that's the only thing I got a concern about.
There you are. Richard,
you know, jackhammer.
There is a trick for you.
Yeah.
Usually when we're renovating and there's a potential for big dust, whether it's through sanding or jackhammering, use a negative air machine. And then, you know, create a kind of a containment zone and exhaust it out through a window.
Can you rent those, by the way, usually, or what?
They're not cheap, though. Not cheap.
But like at the hardware stores, like at home?
Simplex would rent, Hazmasters. Simplex they might have them, actually. Mm. But Hazmasters definitely would have it. Then again, they're not cheap. For the filter, I think they charge $285.
Yeah. Now, King has a unit you can put in the window and it pulls the air out. Is that sort of with a HEPA, you know?
It's all about CFUs and how much you're pulling out per cubic feet. So the bigger the machine, I mean, the bigger the area, the bigger the machine.
Yeah, it's not a huge area.
That's why you kind of shut it off with a containment zone in order to contain it as the guy is going. And that would be, you could use a smaller machine. Yeah. And you keep on using moving your containment zone as you need.
All right, Richard, we have to run.
Okay, thanks and very much.
Thank you.
Okay, take care. Bye.
It's 9:55. This is another Richard out in Laval. Richard, unfortunately, we only have about 2 minutes, so ask your question to Walter about hardwood, right?
Yes, please. Yeah, Walter, please. I have a hardwood floor, and there's a part of it that there's a lot of traffic over there, so it looks like the finishing is faded. Is there something that I can use to, bring back a little bit of life to it or polish it?
I mean, you can always sand it and varnish it. That's, you know, a good way to start. You could do, if you want to do it locally, it works, but it will show the demarcation where you would stop.
Yeah.
But definitely it could be done. Is it continual to other rooms or you have like sills?
No, it's like a dining area. So
yeah.
It's about, let's say, 5 feet by 5 feet.
Okay, so it's probably got some abuse through traffic and salt and water and so on and so forth.
That
unfortunately would, anytime you're going to treat the wood, you need to go down to the bare wood and start up, right? So, you know, it's a good idea to sand it. You go down to the virgin wood, and then you varnish it, and then you seal it, and it will come back as new.
Okay. Thank you, and thank you for the response on the tiles on vinyl.
Oh, is that you?
Yes, I like that response. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks, Richard.
Thank you.
We answered a question, too, about the vinyl strips, right, for Tina?
That's correct.
Did you give a brand name?
I could. If
she says, please, what vinyl strips did Walter suggest for linoleum? I couldn't clearly hear.
If you want to have a brand name, there's many. Armstrong does it.
Oh, yeah.
And also 12 Oaks. Really, there's many, many different suppliers for that. It's a question of taste at the end and budget, really.
There you go, Tina. All right, Walter, thanks for a great hour.
My pleasure, sir.
Thanks.
Anytime.
Thank you for coming in. Walter Assey from Renovco. I'm Ken Connors. Thanks to Ben and Master Control. And he's not going anywhere, and hopefully you aren't either, because we have another two great hours for you here on Saturday morning. Coming up next, it's Lisa and the Car Show, Lisa Christensen, and lots of phone calls. And then Kelly, my pal Kelly Albert, and a great hour of food talk on Montreal Eats from 11 to noon. Have a great Saturday, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow morning, nice and early, at 6 o'clock.